Welcome back to Starting to Scale. I'm Emmy Faust, and I hope you have had a great week so far. Going forward, I'm going to be publishing these episodes on a Wednesday around lunchtime, so I hope that works for you. I've been talking to my podcasting friends, and apparently that is a good day to publish. So moving forward, look out on a Wednesday. Hopefully you're already subscribed, so you will get the latest episode anyway. And got lots of great podcast interviews coming up. Celine next week, who has just secured investment during coronavirus for her social impact platform. And also I'm going to be talking to lots of experts who are working with businesses like yours, helping them to scale and grow. We've got a LinkedIn expert coming to talk to us about using LinkedIn. And we've also got some people talking about how to build the right team, which is so important. In fact, it was really interesting. I was listening to a webinar the other day with some investors, and they were saying that team is like the most important thing that they look at. So definitely watch out for that podcast that's coming up. This week on the podcast, we've got Hannah Forbes. She is a crowdfunding expert and founder of The Funding Crowd, which helps business raise investment through alternative methods. Hannah is the perfect person to talk to us about this because she loves working in the startup environment. And she works at University of Cambridge in the Centre of Alternative Finance, and she's also doing a PhD in crowdfunding and crowdsourcing at the University of Liverpool. So we talk about lots of things, but mainly around equity and rewards-based fundraising for startups and how to maximise your chances of a successful campaign. Remember, if you are looking to scale your business, I've got lots of free resources on my site, emmyfaust.com. And if you go to emmyfaust.com/free, you'll find my 6 tips to growing a sustainable business. That's a free resource. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Today on Starting to Scale, I have got Hannah Forbes, who is a crowdfunding expert and founder of The Funding Crowd. Hi, I'm Hannah. Do please tell us a little bit about your business, and also I know you're a researcher as well.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. So I'm the founder of The Funding Crowd, and we help businesses raise through alternative methods, which is predominantly equity and rewards-based crowdfunding. Alongside this, I do part-time research, so I work at the University of Cambridge in the Centre of Alternative Finance, and I'm also doing a PhD in crowdfunding and crowdsourcing at the University of Liverpool.
Wow, so what got you into wanting to study that?
Well, it was actually the research that led me to become a consultant as opposed to the other way around. So I did my undergraduate degree in mechanical engineering and decided I didn't want to be an engineer, but really loved the startup environment I had been in previous jobs. So I knew I liked the business side of the engineering work that I was doing. And then through that, I started working on a lot of Kickstarters just through the startups that I was working with, and realized that there wasn't really much support to help people do it properly. And a lot of people were getting it wrong and spending a lot of money and a lot of money wasted. So while I was still at university, and we got to choose our final year project. So I asked if I could do one on crowdfunding and do some more crowdfunding research, and my very nice supervisor said yes. And that's where it kind of started. So I did 3 months of work with both the startups I was working with to develop a tool to help people run successful crowdfunding campaigns. And since then, so for the last 4 years, I've continued that research either in my free time or as part of my PhD. And now it's more kind of formalized alongside my business as well.
So what percentage of campaigns are successful? I suppose it probably depends on industry and various other things, but what's kind of average?
Sure. So on rewards-based sites such as Kickstarter and Indiegogo, the failure rate is quite high. So it's between 60 and 70% of campaigns fail on those sites. So 30 and 40% succeed. Equity crowdfunding is quite different because there are different stages. It's more of a formalized systematic process. So on equity crowdfunding, you go live in a private round, and then when you hit a certain percentage, you go live in a public round. So it's hard to kind of gather exact statistics of people that kind of fail at the private round versus people that fail at the public round. But in general, for equity, there are kind of higher hurdles to overcome before you're even able to go private. So if you get over that point, generally the success rates are reasonably high, kind of in the high 80s.
Yeah. So I suppose you're saying if you've got the backing of private investors and then you're allowed to go live on the platform, I suppose the fact that you've already secured investment and funding means that people are interested and therefore it's more likely to be a success.
Yeah, exactly. It really comes down to, at that point, if you've got kind of over 60% funded, you're on the live page of either Seedus or Crowdcube, it then comes to how effective your marketing strategy is. And if you've managed to secure investment, it's likely that there's no huge problems with your marketing strategy and you understand how to do a good marketing campaign. So it's definitely, those things are to some extent mutually exclusive, but I think the idea is if you've managed to get to the point where you're public live, then you kind of know what you're doing and you're able to kind of nurture and get people involved in your campaign.
Perfect. So that probably brings me on to my next question about what's the difference between equity and rewards, and you help clients with both, don't you? So do you mind just giving our listeners an example and a bit more information on that? Because I suppose not everyone might be familiar with the differences and how it works.
Sure. So the main difference is that on equity crowdfunding, you're giving away equity, and on rewards-based crowdfunding, you're giving away a reward, and that normally is a product. So a lot of hardware startups like luggage startups, green tech startups launch on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. And it's essentially pre-selling. So maybe you have a prototype that's not quite ready for production, or maybe you're ready to go for production, but you don't have the funds. You can pre-sell it on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, get the funds you need, and then go to production and fulfill those orders. So that's rewards-based. And equity, instead of offering 5% of equity to one or two angels, you offer it to the crowd. So based on how much someone contributes, whether it starts from £10, but can go up to £20,000, £40,000 if they want. And based on how much they contribute to the campaign, that's how much equity they get back.
So I suppose the rewards base is kind of pre-validation, isn't it? It's saying this is what we want to do and we've got this idea potentially, and if you get loads of people backing you, then you know that you're probably on something, and it helps you to create that first product. With the equity, in most cases investors they're expecting for you to be a bit further down the line, are they, with some actual traction?
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly the word. So my kind of triage process for taking on clients is really determining whether they have that traction already. And companies are different, and the way they demonstrate traction, of course, varies. But in general, you're looking to have maybe some big partnerships with some big firms, customers, revenue, social media followers, things that give give an investor an indication that you're growing, that you're on an upwards trajectory. And that can vary, that especially products that are highly technical that are still in the research phase find other inventive ways to show traction. But in general, it's those four: customers, revenue, partnerships, and social media.
And are you working with clients at a particular stage of their business? Is it sort of startups looking to secure seed funding, SEAS funding, or is it right the way up to Series A and beyond?
It tends to not be beyond Series A. The vast majority are between seed and Series A. I would say most of the people doing well on equity crowdfunding sites have done an initial friends and family and maybe have one or two angels involved in their company and are looking for their next round. So it's bordering on Series A, but really the first round that they've done has been really quite small, and then they're moving on to the next because they have customers, they have revenue, they're able to demonstrate that traction.
So they've used potentially the 150,000 of SEIS with friends and family and maybe an angel. They've started to get a bit of traction and now they're looking for more money and they're going out to the crowd. So yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks for explaining the difference between equity and rewards. So I suppose those are two different stages of businesses, aren't they? Like the rewards base is very much startup that has got a great idea but is wanting validation. Do you sometimes get, brands that are already launched who are wanting to launch new products or something like that, who are using the rewards-based system?
Yes, exactly. So the majority of crowdfunding campaigns would be companies looking to go to market, so it's their first product. But there's a lot of really great companies that have used the crowdfunding model throughout for different product launches. Lego did an Indiegogo campaign, I think, maybe 3 years ago now, to launch a new product range. And then there's another company that's recently launched another called Mate, and they do electric bikes. And every single product they've launched, they've done on Indiegogo and Kickstarter. So it is predominantly for people looking to come to market and trying to overcome the financial burdens that come with trying to develop a product. But it's definitely a model that can be used throughout the startup lifecycle.
I love that idea, because I suppose before you spend lots of money creating a product, you're actually saying, do customers want my product? Is there a need for it? And if they do, then it's going to be very clear. So
yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think the phase of product development that's the riskiest and the most expensive is the bit from going from having a proof of principle prototype to mass manufacture. And crowdfunding plugs that gap perfectly. So knowing that you have the money and also you have the demand there means that you're going into this really risky, intense phase of product development with a bit more support and more funds.
Yeah, and it's great to have those kind of brand ambassadors, isn't it, who are cheering you on and wanting you to succeed and probably telling all their friends about you and getting good, I suppose, PR, good referrals. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is what's the situation at the moment with people raising money? Because when we're recording this, we're in the middle of the coronavirus crisis, and I've heard lots of investors are holding back. You know, they're looking after their current investees, the businesses they're involved in. And I'm just interested to know from your point of view, have you seen a significant decline, or are you actually seeing that people are needing to still raise money and they are managing to do that?
So there is definitely a decline, but there's not as big a decline as I was expecting. So I think from my perspective, looking at campaigns and seeing the marketing that they're doing around the campaigns that are well planned and well executed are still doing well. They're still hitting their targets, but they might not be getting as much funding as they probably would have if they weren't raising in this climate. There are definitely less campaigns launching, both on equity and rewards-based, to the extent actually that very much a rumor, but I saw an article yesterday that Kickstarter were looking at redundancies because of seeing less people raising less funding, which means obviously they get a less percentage of that, and also less people launching. So there's definitely been a shift in the industry. And interestingly, crowdfunding emerged from the 2008 crisis. So I think there will be a boom after this, because it's going to be more difficult to take on debt. It's going to be more difficult, I think, to get VC and angel funding. So I think crowdfunding will recover. But at the moment, I think the platforms are struggling to get as many people launching.
And that's a shame as well, isn't it, for the startups who desperately need funds to continue what they're doing. So you were talking about planning a campaign. I think this is what you help people with, the sort of the strategy around planning their campaign and getting them through the other side. And I know when we spoke before, you've got an amazing success rate, haven't you? What is it?
So for the clients that I take on fully, so for the clients I'm creating the project plan for, doing project management, is 100%. I do also do kind of workshops and one-on-one sessions where I don't have as much involvement in the campaign, but of those that I work fully with, it's 100%.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. And you were mentioning before that it's about, planning the campaign well and the marketing strategy around getting the investors on board, or the backers, whatever you call them, with the rewards-based funding. Can you just talk to me a bit more about that? What does someone need to do? Obviously, they can get in touch with you, but if they're trying to do it themselves, or if they need to get themselves prepared, or they need to think about it in advance, what is it that they need to do to plan a good campaign and to have these kind of, you know, a success?
Sure. So there's two main preparation streams. On one side, it's the campaign content. So that's creating the video, creating the pitch. If you're doing equity, making sure your investor deck is ready. You've got SEIS assurance, etc. So getting the kind of the content and the details ready that allow you to actually launch on the platform. That's one side. The other side, which is vital and not more important, but fundamental to success, is the process of building the crowd and nurturing and priming the crowd. And that process is dependent on your existing marketing activities and how you currently engage with the crowd. But in general, it's making sure you have an online presence, both using email marketing, using LinkedIn, using social media to engage people that might be interested in investing. Part of that process, and I would say actually the first step, is thinking, who would be my investors? And there's going to be several segments of investors within the crowd. There's going to be any existing angels and those contacts, so angels within your network. Then there's going to be friends and family, people that would just want to support you. And then there's fans and customers. And all of those will have very different motivations for investing, and understanding those key messages, understanding the content and the channels you use to reach them is a really important first step. And in general, I would recommend minimum of 3 months building that up. So creating the content, getting people onto your mailing list, maybe a pre-registration mailing list, and gathering and forming these contact points with people that would be interested in investing. And between that process of building the crowd and the campaign content process, the analogy I use is, if you want to get fit and healthy, you need to buy a gym membership, which is the campaign content. But in order to actually be successful with your goal, you need to actually go to the gym and do the work. And going to the gym and doing the work is the building your crowd, and buying the membership is creating the campaign content.
Quite. So it's, 3 months. It's quite, I think some people just think they can do this relatively quickly. But first of all, there's a lot of work done before even getting to that point, isn't there? Making sure you've got a clear business plan, a clear proposition, a clear strategy. Once you've got to that point, then you're still going to be a good 3 months off actually securing investment. And that's quite hard. I mean, I presume there's quite a lot of work that's going into this. Is there much difference between the rewards and the equity in terms of the amount of work that you need to put in to close the deal? Or is it similar amounts across both?
I'd say it's similar amount of work, but the effort is directed in very different ways. Of course, the amount and the time frame does depend on whether you've got an existing network. Companies like Lego didn't need to do preparation, obviously. But yeah, so for rewards-based, the focus is much more on marketing to the crowd. So your social media, your email marketing, creating lots of content, really thinking about your marketing and your like buyer persona is much more of a kind of e-commerce strategy for marketing, because you're selling a product most likely. Equity is, there's a bit of that, but there's also a lot of direct messaging. So using LinkedIn, messaging people in your network, emailing people is a lot more direct to angels, direct to investor work compared to rewards base. On rewards base, I encourage when the campaign is live to be messaging friends and family, because a direct message tends to have better conversion. But there's a huge amount more of that for equity when you're reaching out to investors and talking to them about your business in the same way you would for any other fundraising process.
I say this with everyone that I speak to, that I could talk to you for hours, because I find all this so interesting, and I know we've only just skimmed the surface, but we've probably only got time for one more question, because I like to keep them quite short and succinct. But I'm interested to know, how important is it for people to have a clear business plan and have a very well thought out strategy and marketing strategy, not marketing strategy for getting the money, but marketing strategy for their business? I'm assuming that with the crowd, with equity, where you've got investors and it's, they're getting a share in the business and potentially putting more money in. I mean, they might only be investing a small amount. That, are investors wanting to review all that information in very much detail? With the rewards, do they actually care because they're just buying a product? How important is it for the investors and the backers to see those kind of documents and to see that you've spent a lot of time working through all the different opportunities and things that come up?
So for rewards, a business plan is not necessary at all. Of course, being transparent about your business development and the product development is important, but really the information is centered around what's important for that backer to know, to trust you and to buy your product. And invariably, that doesn't include, the financial state of the company. It's more to do with the problem that you're solving and their ability to deliver the product. So for rewards, I'd say that business plan is very low priority in terms of what you need to prepare. For equity crowdfunding, yes, having a business plan is very important, as well as having a deck and your pitch. So these are the three things that include information about your business. And what I would say is difficult is that your page and your documents need to provide the right information to experienced and sophisticated investors who might be interested in 10 grand upwards, to investors that have maybe invested in things before, maybe around the £1,000 mark or a couple of hundred pounds. All your documentation will need to appeal to them. And then your documentation will need to be clear and understood by the average person, maybe one of your customers who's never invested in anything before. So definitely going into the equity crowdfunding preparation process with at least one business plan will make your job a lot easier, because then you have to think about how your investor deck communicates information compared to how your financials do and what level of detail. So it's a really, that process of honing your documentation takes time. So having a business plan is good, and also having that initial marketing strategy and an understanding of your consumers and your potential customers is also really useful in that process. So I would say, and this is why the equity and rewards do appeal to different development stages, because for equity, you really need to know your business, and it's likely that you've already gone through maybe a smaller investor round before, so you have familiarity with those processes.
Yeah, that's something that I've actually helped a couple of clients with, where they've already had their seed investment from friends and family and then gone in and helped them, you know, just hone down on their business strategy and plan and marketing strategy, so that whilst their business is very good and investors are interested in investing more, they want to see something a bit more coherent and cohesive. So I find that that is obviously much needed. So thank you so much for coming on, Hannah. Is there one bit of advice? I'm sure you've got loads of bits of advice. If you had to just choose one bit of advice for listeners around equity or rewards-based crowdfunding, could you just share one thing?
Sure. So I've talked a lot about this building the crowd process. And in these current circumstances, the main bit of advice I have is be mindful. And while it's not right to ignore the current situation, also don't try and add to the frenzy of different information going out there. So refresh your content strategy in line with what's going on, and be mindful of how your consumers may be feeling about your product and the problem you're solving for them.
Brilliant. That's great advice. Thank you so much, Hannah. And I will link to your LinkedIn and your website in the show notes. And if there's anything else, obviously, that you want to include, we can do that. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Starting to Scale with Emmy Faust. That's me. It has been great to have you listening again this week. If you know other founders that are looking to grow profitable, sustainable businesses, then please do let them know about this. And it would make my day if you leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you are enjoying from this podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that through my website, emmyfaust.com. And don't forget, I've got lots of great resources on my website. Go to emmyfaust.com/free. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to catching up with you again next week.